You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Board Gamers Anonymous, the podcast about board gamers and the insane fun we have at the table together. This is Chris.
And this is Anthony.
And this is episode 316, Games Too Big to Play. We'd like to thank all of our Patreon backers for helping us bring you a brand new episode. So long ago, Anthony, when we were first starting out in board gaming and we loved board games so dearly, that we wanted every possible expansion and promo that we could get our hands on. And then at some point, we realized in our hubris that we had no place to put all of these things. And we sincerely wish that there was a container to hold all of these things, never thinking we'd actually get those. And in fact, we've got those. And that's our feature review this week.
Yeah. Yeah, we joked about this not too long ago. I think I'm on BGA Live, but there are some very large boxes on my shelves right now, and they are never coming down. In fact, I took one down the other day to consolidate something like an expansion that I had found in the closet, and it had a tremendous amount of dust on it. I don't think it's been moved in at least a year. We'll get to what these games are. You can guess on some of them, but there's too many now, and a couple recently that have come in are especially egregious. So it'll be part rant, part discussion of how to make it better. I don't know.
So. We'll figure it out. We'll box it up in a feature review for you. So it'll be a lot of fun to have that conversation and talk about some of the monstrosities of board game boxes out there and all of the stuff that comes along with it. So join us for that feature review. But before we get into all of that big box goodness, there's so much other stuff that's going on with us, Anthony. So why don't you bring everyone up to date?
Yeah. We have our annual March Gamer Madness starting next week. And we're going to be doing the solo games because all the solo games. and the reason why is obviously the last year, almost exactly 1 year, actually, like 5 days from now is when my kids' school shut down a year ago. We've been stuck at home, can't go out. Lots and lots of people playing solo games. Lots of people playing online too, but we've talked about that. So these are going to be the games that you can play by yourself. We've curated the list from the top 200 solo games on Board Game Geek that is run there by one of the guilds every year. And we're going to have special guest Jason, who is co-host with me on Every Night is Game Night for several years until very recently, on to help discuss that. And then we have a contest. So every year we do this. We put up the bracket. It is up right now. If you go over to our Facebook page or if you check out BoardGamersAnonymous.com, there will be a link where you can go to the bracket. You can go through all 63 matchups and choose who you think is going to come out and win. Whoever comes closest, or if multiple people do, then I'll draw a name, is going to win. You're going to win a game from the list that's in print and available that we can ship to you wherever you happen to live. So head on over there. It's always a lot of fun. Everybody really enjoys going through this. I usually do it myself before we even do the episode because it's just fun to click back and forth. Yeah, if you have any comments, questions, anything, obviously shoot them through. We record this. That episode will be recorded in the next week or so. And so the contest is going to lock down about 1 week from when you hear this, once the first episode of that goes up. So you'll want to get that in as soon as you can. If it's not in by the 17th, then the contest will close down and you won't be able to obviously run it because you'll know the answers to half the questions. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We do this every year and looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's our obligatory, how would you say it, like reverence towards sports, because Anthony and I come from a background of like, we love sports. And this is like the last embers of sports that we're barely holding on to and we bring into board gaming each and every year. So we've been doing these for a lot of years. And honestly, in fact, they are the most fun episodes that I believe that we do each and every year, because again, they're timeless and they're really a lot of good discussion and they're a lot of fun games and you know all the games. It's a lot of really cool kind of back and forth entertainment. And I think we've been doing it almost every year going way back when. So before you get into these episodes, jump back and listen to those episodes, because again, I think they're just a lot of fun. We talked about sci-fi games. We talked about fantasy games. We talked about different types of Euro games. We talked about historical stuff. Like, we've done pretty much everything because we really want to make all the episodes evergreen for you so that there is something always to go back to. Because I know for me personally, when I like a podcast and I'm listening for something, every once in a while, I'm like, you know what? Let me just jump back a little bit and let's see what something's cool and interesting there. So a lot of evergreen episodes, we always do something different. So we're so glad to do this. We're so happy to have Jason with us. And I think it's going to be a really good time. And again, for a lot of us out there, all we are doing right now is solo gaming. So take a listen, especially if you're not a solo gamer like me. Like, I solo game, but I'm not a solo gamer. Anthony's a solo gamer. So I think you'll get some really good solo games on your purchase chart, at least upcoming. So yeah, definitely check that out. Even if you're not a solo gamer, you're going to love it. All right, Anthony, so that's what's going on with the podcast for the next 2 weeks. So we'll hopefully everyone will love and enjoy that. But there's also something going on with a little Twitch channel that we are favorites of. What's going on with BGA Live?
Yeah, this week we're going to do No Thanks on episode 25. So check out the show is up every week on Wednesdays at 8:30 Eastern. And this week we're doing No Thanks and probably at least one, possibly two other surprise shorter games mixed in there. So we're gonna have a little bit of a grab bag. No Thanks is the newest game and that's the one we really want to focus on, but obviously it's a little bit quicker. So we're gonna kind of touch on a couple of the other smaller, lighter games that are on BGA, on Board Game Arena. So definitely join us. It'll be a lot of fun. These types of games we always have a lot of fun with because they're silly and there's not a lot of AP or heavy thinking. It's just people kind of stabbing each other really quickly. And that's always funny.
Yeah, we finished La Granja last week and that went long. It was a great game. It was a super tight game. And again, if you haven't listened to that episode or watched that episode, jump over to Twitch. Board Game Arena has its very own Twitch channel and BJ Live episodes are there each and every week. So check those out because I think it's a lot of fun. You get a really cool teach. You get some great competitions and we do not plan it, but we have had some of the tightest competitions we've ever seen. So our big thanks out to all of our friends out there, especially our game master, Russ, for putting that together each and every week. No Thanks is a really quick, fun game. In fact, I played this way back when. I think this goes as far back as our Myriad days, Anthony. And it was one of those games where it's like, this is a nothing game. And you're like, no, this is like trick-taking, like amped up to like 11. And this is a game you can play with anyone. I know a lot of people say that. I know a lot of gamers say that. But this is a game where it's like, it's numbers on cards. You play chips, you got it. It's done. And again, we're going to have a bunch of little surprise episodes on top of it. So it'll be a lot of fun. So check in with us if you haven't done that yet. So we got some fun. We got some things going on. But Anthony, it's not just about us. It's about our listeners. So what's our question of the week?
Question of the week this week is, what game is elevated the most by adding an expansion in? So what game, not what's the best expansion, but what game, when you add one of its expansions in, increases in quality the most, right? So the base game, you're like, it's fine. And the expansion, you're like, it's amazing. So we've got a lot of good answers here. First one up is Drew. He says, Anachrony Exosuits. So just throwing in the exosuits. I cannot actually imagine playing this game without the exosuits. So I'm going to agree with that, even though I've never played without the exosuits. Because I think base game, if you buy just the $60 game, it comes with like little cardboard hexes. Mm-hmm. And those are your exosuits. So you got to have the miniatures, man. Pay the extra $30. Get the miniatures.
I remember unboxing that and punching that. I'm going, oh, no. No. No.
Where's that other box?
I think that was actually one of the very few games that I refused to buy until I could buy the expansion with it. Because I was just like, yeah, this is not a thing. No. It's like having standees. Like, no, we don't do that here.
Yeah, it's nice that they split it up. So they gave people the options. You could get that really, really good game for $60.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's a $100 game because you got to get those miniatures.
Agreed.
All right. Drew also mentioned Star Wars Rebellion, Rise of the Empire. So that it's only expansion to date, but a really important one that adds in the epic combat mode.
Yes. Very much so.
Really great. Improves the combat in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Several people mentioned Raiders of the North Sea. And nobody really says like this expansion or this expansion. A couple people mentioned some, but nobody really agrees on it. But everybody does agree that it needs some of those expansions. We talked about this before with like games that kind of replace other games recently, and Raiders of Scythia is that, because it takes in all those expansions, takes the bits that work and gives you a new game based on Raiders of the North Sea. So that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Andre also mentions Dark Alley for Tricarion, although he does admit maybe it's not really an expansion and more just like the full version of the game, which I think Agreed. I agree with.
I agree I with that too.
It's similar to Anachrony, where I'm like, I can't imagine playing without it, to be honest.
Yes, I agree.
Chris says, and this is probably the right answer, Lords of Waterdeep with the Skullport expansion.
Oh, yeah.
It adds corruption. Because that game is a solid, just, sure, I guess I'll play that. And you throw in Skullport, and I'm like, oh, actually, this is really good. I have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have a lot of options, but yeah, you're right on board with that. That's next level kind of stuff.
Yeah. All right. Some other stuff people mentioned. Merlin with Arthur. Heavily agreed. That Arthur expansion, adding that additional inner ring, changes it just from a roll and move to like some other options when you roll. Many people thumbing the Terraforming Mars with Prelude. That's a no-brainer.
Exactly.
That game has to have that.
These are brilliant people. Damn.
Yeah, you're all correct. Thank you. Viticulture with Tuscany, which at this point is just Viticulture Essential Edition. So I don't yes. know if that counts anymore, because you just buy it with the stuff that it needs.
Mm. Yeah, makes sense.
And Jeremiah mentions three games. He does mention Tuscany. He also mentions Rise of Fenris with Scythe, and
yes.
House of Renaissance with Lorenzo Il Magnifico.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue with any of these. All of these are absolutely perfect. I mean, there's so many games that bring it up to the next level. Rise of Fenris was mentioned. I agree, because that was one of those games where I love Scythe, but it was going to get retired. And now with the Rise of Fenris, that gets regular rotation. German Railroads, obviously we talked about this a lot. Like, Russian Railroads is good, but it's literally on a rail. And with German Railroads, it really opens that game up big time. Prelude, of course, I agree with that 1,000%. Yeah, I think that there are certainly, I think any publisher who has decided not to reprint that expansion in order to get all the monies to reprint the entire game, I think those are the thing games that they know, like, that stuff was next level, like Viticulture, like that was redone. Like, you can't get it anymore without it. Like, it's just built in now. Like Bruges, right? Bruges comes now with the expansion. It's built into Rococo with the jewelry box. That's built into the game. I think there's a lot of those expansions that are just now essential and you can't really play without it. So yeah, I think everyone's correct on this, and there's obviously several others, but how about you, Anthony? Did you have anything in particular?
Yeah, there was another one a few people mentioned. This is the one I was actually thinking of before I pulled up the answers today, is the Norwegians expansion for Feast for Odin.
Okay.
Because it gives more variability to the board based on player count. It also adds a fourth column, or a fifth column, I should say, to the worker placement, where as the last action, you can place one or two workers over there. Mm-hmm. And those actions are generally better than what you get for one worker, plus they let you play a card. So it makes it so you can actually play a card every round of the game, which is not actually easy to do typically in that game, because you have to spend a lot of workers to play cards. And so you want to get your cards out and build up your tableau. So you can build a bigger tableau. You have more flexibility in like the goods that you pick up. You have more variability in the places that you visit and explore. And so it just gives more options without making it more complicated.
Yeah, I agree. That's great. Yeah, the only other thing I would add, and this is honestly, I know everyone loves Food Chain Magnet, but that's a game I played, and I felt like I played it. I don't need to ever play it again. And the expansion came out, and it's like, okay, I'll continue to play this. So There's definitely a lot of games that would have been clearly retired if it was not for these expansions. So, and then there's definitely a lot of games out there that were saved by their expansions, or sometimes the games are bad because this used to happen a lot, at least back in the day, where clearly expansions were cut off. Like, they were chopped off a game so that they could be reselled separately. And you're just like, why did you do that? Like, you made this a bad game. This is a bad game without it.
Yeah.
You're lucky I picked up the expansion, because I would have not done that if not for this. So, yeah, no, great list. And again, if you'd like to hit us up and let us know what expansions you think were able to make those games just like elevated to the next level, please, we want to hear from you. The question of the weeks do not run out. They only continue, and we want to hear your feedback. So Facebook, Twitter, BoardGamersAnonymous.com, so many ways to reach out to us. Please hit us up. We would love to hear from you. And if you can, drop us a review on iTunes or anywhere else, because we just love to hear that you are listening. All right, Anthony, so that's what's going on with our listeners. Now let's get on to the games that we want to hit the table. Let's talk about our acquisition disorders.
All right, yeah, I figured I would choose one that is perfectly matched to this week's topic.
Ooh.
Everdell, the new Everdell Kickstarter that's going up. And it comes with three options. There's Everdell New Leaf, which adds a new sideboard, which will bring in a train station. So you'll be able to collect train tickets and visitor cards and get extra points based on things moving around there. It's a cool, fun thing on the side. Yay! There is Everdell Mistwood. So these are the fourth and fifth expansions for this game, by the way. And this one looks to be a little bit bigger. Has some like story elements to it. So you're actually fighting against Nightweave, which I think is a spider in this universe. And you have to like recruit different heroes from these packs that will now come with the game, the Moor Legends and Corrin Evertail packs, and then transform your farms. There's another expansion pack beyond that. So this is going to come with not only the module with like the storytelling type of stuff with the Nightweave cards and the module that comes in there. There's automated player now available. The game already had a solo mode, but now you can throw in an automated player to kind of mix things up even more. You have these bonus packs with more legends than the Evertail and through every season. So a bunch of new content here, right? But the reason I wanted to mention this one, and the reason I may not back this, we'll see how big it is,
ooh,
is the Everdell The Complete Collection.
I heard about this.
So I have Everdell. I have the original Kickstarter. Fancy box. It's nice. It's full. And I had to keep, I think, two of the other boxes to fit everything else in there. So all these boxes have been very full of stuff. And so if they send me two more boxes on top of that with the two expansions, I'm like, I don't want five boxes for this game, right? This is not Arcadia Quest. I don't want five. They're just going to end up in the closet. So I'm like, ooh, The Complete Collection. But they did have a screenshot of it up, or I guess a picture of it up on their Facebook page. And it looks like another one of these stupid, huge, mega, massive, dumb boxes that I have nowhere to put and will never leave my house.
Sure.
So then the question becomes, do I want another one of these? And we'll get to that in a minute in the future. It's very pretty. It's got a beautiful cover. And presumably it'll have, you know, some kind of storage solution to put all that stuff in. Because right now it's everywhere and there's a lot of it. It's hard to dig stuff out and set this game up. I don't know. But this is a perfect time to discuss it because it comes down to the question of, do I want this amazing thing? You know, inarguably, this is really cool. It's beautiful. It holds everything, all the stuff I have, tons of new content coming in for a game I really enjoy. Knowing full well that it's going to sit on my shelf and collect dust and probably only get played now in my own house, which means people have to come to my house or I have to get my kids to play this game. So I don't know. That's the big question. It's not on Kickstarter yet. It's in like the pre-phase. It's supposed to launch sometime this month. I don't know exactly when, but sure. Keep an eye out for it if you are interested. You can go to Kickstarter now and sign up for a notification. But complete collection. We'll see what it costs. We'll see how big it is.
Yeah, that, you know, again, that was going to end up on the final list, too, because I did hear about that, too. I did hear about how insanely large that game was. And again, it's just one of those situations where it's like, you know, it reminds me of like Jurassic Park, where Malcolm is like, your scientists were so preoccupied with whether they could, they didn't stop to think if they should. And I'm just like, I love Everdell. I really do. I love the game. I love everything about it. The audacity of the whole thing is just one of those situations where you're like, this is not a good idea, but go ahead and do it anyway. And, you know, end the world, why don't you? So I don't know what to do with this. This is like another Borg cube that they want me to add to my collection. And I'm just like, I really shouldn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I will, to be honest with you. We'll talk about that when it eventually pops up here. But oh, man, I don't know. That's why. Stop, please, dear God, stop.
And the funny thing for me is whether I back this or not will almost depend on when it comes up on Kickstarter, like if the budget's there. But it also depends on how much it ultimately costs, because we'll get to that too. Like the cost of some of these big, huge boxes.
Unbelievable.
I don't know. But I do like me some Everdell. The artwork alone is worth picking up, but it's so much.
It is. And again, they've done super beautiful productions. Like, not just regular great productions. They do a really great job production-wise. But then they do, like, these uber productions. And it's just like, I don't know. We're going to be paying, like, console prices eventually for these games.
Right.
It's like, do you want a PS5 or do you want the Everdell Super Deluxe Collection? It's like, I don't know. it's kind of a... They both cost the same amount of money.
Yeah, I know. Which am I going to play more? Well,
jeez. Crazy. All right. Well, I want to talk about some acquisition disorders I've had. And in particular, I think these things are certainly the opposite of what Anthony was looking at. These things are certainly reasonable for many things that, you know, people hopefully would get to the table at some point. Now, obviously, the first thing here and the most important thing I want to talk about is that recently, Days of Wonder have posted a print and play for Small World. Now, I haven't talked about Small World a lot in actually quite some time, but Small World is one of my favorite games of all time. In fact, I own the giant deluxe edition. Again, another thing that is almost impossible to move. It's a giant wooden crate. It's like, who thought this was a good idea? Like a giant, smooth, heavy piece of wood, cube shape with no handles on it. I'm just like, you guys are the worst. So Small World, The Lost Tribes Crusade is a mini expansion for solo play and two-player games. Now, you could already play Small World as a two-player game, but this actually allows you to throw a third player in. Because what's going to happen here, and if you ever played Small World before, if you haven't even played Small World before, it's all about these very cartoony fantasy races and special abilities kind of mashed together back before it was cool. And they go out, they conquer all the lands, and then they go into like a decline phase, and then you bring in another race. But there are already some indigenous tribes out there. There are the lost tribes that are out there, and they're just doing their own thing. They're just like, I guess they're blockers for you because they lived there first. So turns out that the lost tribes have had enough, and they are pushing back. So the solo version of this game gives you rules how to utilize the lost tribe. So basically what you do is you take all the lost tribe tiles, because when you play Small World, there are boards from two players up to eight, depending on if you have the expansion. So there is a number of, you know, lost tribe tiles. So there's a lot of tiles that you can play with. Those go on the board, and those conquer based upon a certain conditions, just like it normally does, and you get to play along with the lost tribes. So again, it's free. It's literally free. You could just print it out and you got the rules. And then again, there is kind of rules and information how to play with Underground, how to play with the River World, you know, how to play with all the different versions of it. And then there's a two-player or kind of like a three-player version here, because there's two players plus the, you know, solo kind of bot player here. And you can play with that as well. So again, for Acquisition Disorders, this is free. You can download it if you have Small World, and you can get to the table. So that's a lot of fun, and it's free.
Cool. I still haven't really played Small World. I don't own it, but I always wanted to play it. I've played the app a little bit, so I know the game, but it's just not something that's spent a lot of time on my radar. But
sure,
solo mode, that makes me want to try it.
Yeah, and again, maybe they'll add it to the app, because the app is really good for Small World. If you haven't picked it up, you should, because it often goes on like super cheap sale, and it's still one of the best apps of all time. It's just the production is off the charts, especially considering how many years ago that game came out. Like, it's really up there. So, yeah, check that out. All right, Anthony, so those are the games we want to hit the table. Let's talk about the games that did hit the table, and we'll let people know if those games are a buy. And they should run out and buy those games if those games are a play, and they should sit down and play them if those games are a dodge and they should avoid them, or if those games are the dreaded burn and they're just going to pack those games up because, let's be honest, they're just giant cubes that are meant to be, like, I don't know, locked away in time. I just, like, dropped in, like, a time capsule and be like, back in the 2020s, they had games that were the size of cubes, and no one could play them, but they were nice. So, you know, maybe in 1,000 years or so, we'll have, like, levitation powers, and you could actually get those to the table. So with that said, Anthony, what do you have up for us this week?
All right. So I pulled out the Root Clockwork expansion, which was in the original, not the original, the last Kickstarter, the Underworld one that came out last January, I think it shipped, but it did just hit retail as well. So I know other people have had a chance to pick this up who didn't get it in the Kickstarter. And what it is you have bot modes for each of the four original factions in Root. So you could get, I think it was in the first expansion, the Riverfolk expansion, the Mechanical Marquee. So there was the one where you could play against the cats, and it was a decent way to kind of practice the game. Effectively, the way that one worked is you would reveal a card from the top of the deck on the Mechanical Marquee's turn, and based on the suit of that card, you would do things in different locations. So you would battle everywhere that matches that suit, and recruit and build and move and expand and all those things. And it would tell you in what order to do them and how to do it. And you could actually run through the turn of the cats pretty quickly that way, and it was a nice way to practice. The challenge with that is that there was really only a couple, you know, you could do it against all the other factions, but some of them, it just didn't really work because the cats would just kind of sit and spin in their own little corners and nothing would happen while you, because if you're not a combat oriented faction, nothing, what are you going to do? Right. It's like any two player game. It doesn't really work. The Clockwork expansion changes that a little bit because you can now play it solo and run multiple bots, which allows you to try out various different factions without necessarily having to play, you know, one-on-one. You can still do that if you want to test out how, you know, Corvid conspiracy plays against the Electric Airy. You can do that. But the way that I'm having the most fun with this is using the chart that comes with the expansions at the back of those rule books. It says these are the best combinations for whatever player counts, and then matching that up to the different mechanical bots that you have here. and using those to determine, you know, to play them out. Because it might sound like a lot of work, and like for a coin game, it would be a lot of work. Those games also do this, but it's a ton of work. But everything you need to run those clockwork opponents is on their player board. It's set up in the same order, in the same graphic design as a player board, the regular player board. And it's fairly simple. You're just revealing a card, crafting it if you can, and then going through a series of steps based on, you know, what time it is and what the suit was that you pulled. Very, very simple. If you know the rules to root and you know how to play these factions, the clockwork version is very simple. Like, each of them is like a page of rules. So I've had a lot of fun doing that, getting to try out other factions that maybe I don't get to play as much, or haven't gotten to play as much in the past, or ones that aren't yet in the app, some of the expansions. And it's just a really cool way to do automation when some solo modes right now are just adding layers upon layers. And you have things like GMT games and coin games where they do exactly this, where you have like a spreadsheet type of approach and a flow of things to do based on certain conditions. But it's a lot, and it's too much work to learn, right? And I'm never going to do it. This was easy to learn. It's quick to set up, and I'm having a lot of fun with it. The other reason that I was like drawn to pull this out is because the second Clockwork expansion is currently up along with the Marauders expansion on Kickstarter. So I don't know if that's still up while you guys are listening to this. It was finishing up pretty much either this week or next week. It's next week, so it's still up while you're listening to this. But if you're interested, the new Clockwork expansion is going to include the other four factions. So the Lizards, the Otters, the Corvid, and the Moles. So you'll have eight different ones to choose from. So I'm pretty excited about that. That's something I'm definitely going to pick up. So Clockwork expansion for me as a solo player, and with Root being my number two game of all time, this is an easy, easy buy. 100% recommend it. If you at all enjoy Root, if you want to practice at home, if you want to play two-player games before the new expansion comes out that's supposed to improve two-player, and you are tired of the combinations that are available, throw in one of the Clockworks. It will play with multiple, you know, it doesn't have to be a one-player thing. You can play with three or two people and throw in a Clockwork on top of that, just to balance things out a little bit more. And I have not done that, but by all accounts, it works very well. So yeah, Clockwork expansion, it's a buy for me, and I'm backing the second one as well. Sight unseen, I'm sure it'll be good.
Excellent. Again, obviously this is a game that benefits from having more of the different animal races on the table. So having the bots on the board adds to a lot of like replayability and just game variety and just a lot more fun. You know, I always love seeing Root at the table, but I especially love seeing it when you get to see all the different types of factions in play, because it's really the interactions that make that game a lot of fun. You know, if it's the birds versus the cats, you're like, oh, they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and that's it. But it's like, it's the birds, the cats, and the woodland alliance. Oh, okay. So now we got a whole different dynamic happening. That's pretty fun. So yeah, if you could throw some bots in there, that's great. Especially, like you said, as a solo play, because again, the one thing that's keeping me from just literally buying a house worth of Root is just the fact that getting this to the table is challenging, because people just don't have the time to play and study and learn those particular, you know, races, but this would allow for that. And that's fantastic. So yeah, no, this is great. So yeah, people should be checking that out. All right. So for me, I got a small, tiny one that I want to let everyone know about. I was so excited about it that I actually texted Anthony. I'm like, look, the Seven Wonders app has been updated. It's 2.0. It's the new edition. I'm so excited. And it was weird because I did not know this was coming. And it just, I was like, oh, that's weird. That's a different icon for my Seven Wonders. Because every once in a while, I'm like, you know what? I got 5 minutes. I'll play a game of Seven Wonders on my phone. And it's just, it's gotten so easy and simple to play that I can knock it out in 5 minutes or less. And I'm like, it's fine. It's a great app. I like it a lot. And then out of nowhere, and again, with no fanfare from what I could tell, they decided to bring the new edition that we've been talking about for quite some time to the app. And there was no additional charge. And I was kind of shocked. And I'm like, what is this? What is this? And it wasn't just the fact that it was the new edition. So there's definitely tweaks in the whole game and there's new cards in the game. But they've also added the leaders and the cities, the new versions of those in here too, which I do not have at this point. But now I get to play with, because even Board Game Arena doesn't have those new expansions. So really, we're just missing, I guess, Armada and maybe Babel. I don't know if Babel's eventually going to come out. I think they're going to let Babel go on there, but it is gorgeous. The artwork is great. It's certainly upgraded big time. The music is great in here. The transitions between the different ages are elegant, and it's such a better game. It's really hard to say, because when you played Seven Wonders, it was such a nice, clean implementation. And this version is just, it sparkles. Like, there's so much animation as far as when you place the cards out and how they interact with each other and all the different phases. And plus, you do get the leaders, you do get the cities. Again, if you played Seven Wonders, you owe it to yourself to pick up this app. It's super cheap. And again, it's one of those things where it's like, it's just going to be a lot of fun. If you've never played Seven Wonders, this is a great way to learn. It has all the stats. It has all the information on there. So, like, I can't believe I have to. I need to take a look at this, because one of the things that the new app tells you in detail, the old app gave you some information, but one of the things that the new app tells you is exactly, like, how many games and all that other kind of stuff that you've actually played. And I'm just like, oh no, I've played a lot of these games. I had no idea, but it's really a lot of fun.
That's great. Yeah, no, when you told me they'd updated it, I was surprised, but also kind of excited, because I haven't played the Seven Wonders app in a while. The original edition of it was fine. I can't remember exactly even what my issue was with it. I burned out on it really fast. But yeah, no, I downloaded this yesterday, and I'm like, or updated, I guess, because it was already on there. And it's really nice. It looks really good.
I just like the fact that it's a free update. In the universe that we currently live in of microtransactions, they just gave it to us. It wasn't like, oh, it's going to cost you an extra dollar for each. Like, we just talked about how, you know, Skulldrons of Skullport, the expansion for Lords of Waterdeep, is essential. And when I bought that game as an app, and I bought it more than once, I also bought it on Steam, the expansions were each like $4 each. And it's only really one expansion when you buy the game, but they split it up into two things and you had to pay like another $8. I'm like, come on, guys. Like, that's not cool.
Yeah.
And here you get the brand new base edition and both other expansions. I mean, it's just very, very cool of them to do. I'm really happy about that. Repos Production, thank you. Really, really appreciate that. And again, it's super sleek. It's really updated. It's great. So, with that being said, I want to bring you a bigger game review that I was able to get to the table. I have multiple pictures of my struggles and triumphs with Tawantin Tsuyu. This is another game in the T collection from David Tertzi, the solo master of solo masters, some might say. And this is a board game from Board and Dice. And this is about the Incan Empire, and that's what Tawantin Tsuyu refers to. So I got to play the solo mode version of this. I played it throughout the weekend. So let me say a couple of things here. I'm going to talk about how the game plays. I don't think that the game itself plays radically different at any player count. I got to play against the bot here, and the bot's really interesting. I'm going to talk about the bot in a little more detail, and that's Oxomama. That's actually, and I've pronounced these and I've gone through this again and again. Oxomama here is our bot. So this is the player that I'm playing against here. And basically the game seems to play rather similar with all player counts. The game plays up to four, but I played with the solo module here, looking to get this game to the table. So I will have a more extensive review once I do that. The game itself is all about gaining fame. The ruler of the Incan Empire is looking to pass down his empire to his sons and is looking to see who can gain the most fame and fortune by serving their people. So you have this wondrous multi-tiered pentagon of this kind of pyramid ziggurat, and each of the levels is all about farming and producing resources. So this epic grand wonder of all time. And on your turn, you are basically going to do one of two things. The first choice is to play a worker. Now, there are five different color workers. They all do different things. And what you're going to be able to do is play the worker on a particular spot on the board. So the board itself, very flat. It doesn't have any of the three-dimensional things like a lot of the games do these days. And there's a lot of symbology on the game. But basically, you have a lot of these ancient symbols, and you're going to play your worker on one of those symbols, and you are going to play a matching card to make that happen. If you do that, there's no cost, which is awesome. So think underwater cities, like you want to match things up. If you do, in fact, have one of the idols, which you can build throughout the game, you will get the bonus of the card. Again, think underwater cities. If you don't have any of those things, then you have to pay a gold to be able to place your worker out there. Once your worker gets placed there, then you will get an action to be able to do something there. Now, that action is all about what is adjacent to that particular worker, so you will be able to gain resources or be able to build something in particular. As I mentioned, the idols are something you're building, but there's also buildings that you're building, and there's also stairs that you're building. Stairs are essential because there are multiple tiers to this board. So the stairs helps the workers move from the top to the bottom levels. So as you want to place your workers on the lower levels to get the better resources, it costs additional food to do so. In addition to that, as you're placing your workers out there on the board, you want to keep them in line with your high priest. Your high priest is overlooking, is managing all your workers out there. So if you go any distance away from them, whether it's down or to the sides, it's going to cost more food to be able to do so. But the stairs act as a discount. And again, if you use someone else's stairs, you give them a victory point because they helped you out in the long term there. So again, a lot of little symbology here. But again, you place your worker, you take your action, you get your resources or you build your thing. If you have adjacency to a color worker of your same color, then you're going to get additional actions. And that's primarily it. As far as workers are concerned, you'll be able to get an additional worker. And basically, throughout the game, you're going to be holding on to like at least one, if not two workers, but never more than that. If you don't take that, you can take your secondary actions. Your secondary actions allows your high priest to move. Think about like what Anthony was mentioning earlier about Merlin with King Arthur having its own little kind of rondelle. Well, the same thing is true here. So the high priest moves around, gets to do really cool actions like produce based upon your tapestries. The tapestries is a very cool action throughout the game. You'll be able to purchase tapestries. And based upon how you kind of connect those tapestries, if they're a different pattern but the same item, when you'll be able to produce, you'll be able to get those resources, which is awesome. You'll also be able to worship, which you could discard your different idols to be able to move up the track or make offerings to move up the track. You know, it's basically a Tertsy game, so it's all about tracks. You'll be able to do conquests, which will actually get you victory points and resources throughout the game. And that's primarily the two things that you're going to do during the game. So it's either a worker or a high priest action. Again, a lot of iconography in this game, but it's not really a very hard game. It just tends to be a lot of different things you can do, and it's a little cluttered throughout. Now, let's talk about the Automa. The Automa is really important here. Exomom is going to come into play, and the bot is going to do something very similar to you. The difference is that it's going to have the cards set up in front of them, and you're going to roll a 1-4 die. When you roll the die, it's going to indicate which of the cards you're going to use. That's going to indicate where the worker is going to get placed in line or near in line with your high priest. Now, when you place your worker out there, you're going to get the benefits based upon your board. So there are these little tokens that have numbers on them. So as you roll that number, you are going to check off on the three different levels on the Automa board what you're going to be able to get as far as resources or buildings or things like that. So you're not going to take what's on the board, but you're going to take what's on the Automa board or the Oxomama board. So as the game goes on, the Onoma's getting resources. They're messing with you a little bit here and there, and you're kind of doing your own thing. So that's primarily it. You go through three different festival areas once the village runs out of workers, and then you score up your points, and that's pretty much the game. It's a very straightforward game. It's very, very point salad. There's a lot of ways to score points throughout the game, and basically it's just about maximizing your efficiency by putting workers down the right spot to be able to connect to other workers, and of course get the good stuff on the bottom, but of course utilizing the stairs, utilizing the idols, and you know, it's a bit of a squeaker. So Oxomama here does a very good job. It's a different way of playing the game. It's not just like a straight out, do you have to hit a certain number? That being said, it is a little cumbersome because as you're playing your game, you're doing something that makes sense. You place your workers, you do the action there. Oxomama places their worker, and now you have to go through like a chart of like, you know, I don't know, 20 some odd different things to see what actually happens at this point and how to move things. So it is a little cumbersome. And after playing it a couple times, I just played by myself because I just wanted to be able to see my own score, my own actions, because like I said earlier, you could possibly get in the way, and Oxomama every once in a while makes things difficult, but generally not so much so. So, for David Turtsey's The Incan Empire, Tuantin Sin Suyu, I'm going to give the game a play. It's a decent point salad game set in a different universe that we don't typically see. The solo mode is unique, a little cumbersome, a little obtuse. The rulebook could definitely use some revisions. As I've never played the game before, and since I was playing solo, I went to solo mode. Solo mode was not helpful about how to set up or how to play the game, so I gotta go back to the regular book. So I went back and forth the route. I even had to watch a couple of videos to make sure I got everything right, because the rulebook was not great. But overall, it gets a solid play.
Yeah, no, that's great. I have this one on the shelf, and I have not had a chance to play it yet. You know, I love Turchi's games and his solo modes in particular for other games. So it's definitely something I want to check out at some point. Like, it's been sitting there for a little while, just has not made the top of the list for me. But it's good to hear that it works for the most part.
It does. And again, it plays very much like it looks, right? Again, it's placing a lot of workers out there, moving your high priest when you need to. And again, it's very point Sally. I never really felt that I was like in competition directly with the bot other than points. And I don't believe you're going to find that very different than when you play with players. Obviously, there might be some ideal spots, but I don't think there's going to be any spots they're going to be like, oh, you took my spot. It's not going to be that kind of thing. But I don't know. When you get it done, I'll definitely teach you how to play. All right. So that's the games that hit the table and the tablet this week. Again, please hit us up. Let us know what you'd like us to review next, because we would love to get those games to the table. All right, Anthony, so let's talk about our feature review. So our feature review this week is, in fact, games that are just way too big to get to the table. So this has been a, obviously, first world problem, a FOMO problem, an acquisition disorder problem, a Kickstarter problem, a problem of, you know, Greek epic, where we wanted so much. We reach for the sun. Our wings have melted, and we have come crashing to the ocean. Yeah, so we've caused these problems. We know that this is us. We know. So, again, these are not games that we hate. These are not games we don't like. In fact, we do like these games very much so. So as we go through these games and we lament the fact that these games may never see table time again, we just want to talk about them because, you know, it's a thing that's just crushing our soul. Yeah. And our shelves. And our shelves. Definitely, yep. Our shelves. So first up, Anthony, a game that I want to talk about a little bit. This is probably the original insane huge box. Now, we're not talking about Mega Civilization, which of course could be on here as well, but Mega Civilization at least plays 18 players. Way back in the day, from Steve Jackson Games, there was a game called Ogre, and it was $100, and we went, no way, no one's going to pay $100 for this game. But it was a super big box, and it needed to be a super big box because it had a lot of like cardboard pieces that kind of got put together as cars and stuff like this. Did you ever get to see this game actually in person?
Nope. I saw it on the top shelf of pretty much every friendly local game store in New Jersey for a 2-year period. And I never actually saw it hit the table. It sat up there covered in dust. But it was a massive box. And it's funny because the original versions of this game are so small and would come in like plastic baggies. And then they're like, all right, 6th edition, it's the size of a car. You
know? One of the funny things about this game was, I think when you purchased it, I don't think it was an additional charge, but I think when you purchased it, you could get a giant bag, an ogre bag that went with the game. And that was at least understood. It goes back to those coffin box days, but it was immense. I never got, well, actually, you know what? I did get to play this, not the full box version. I think way back when there was kind of like a demo version kind of circling around. I did play some of this, but this was certainly another game. And this is inevitably going to be the problem with all these games. There's just too much in the box, and it's the only box or the only way to transport it. And you never get all of that stuff to the table. So why are you lugging this giant box that's going to like collapse you and your car and everything else? So that was the original Ogre. All right. Next up, Anthony, is a game that I know you have and you love. I never picked it up because I couldn't pick it up because it would break my back. And that, of course, that's Gloomhaven.
Right. Yeah, Gloomhaven's a beast. I mean, because the box is huge. Right? Everybody's seen this box now. I think several hundred thousand copies have been made. Everybody's seen a box of Gloomhaven. You know how big that is. It is legitimately massive. But it's also full. Like, there's no space in there. And it doesn't come with inserts or anything. So it's just all the stuff fills that box. And when you get it, it's like 15 to 20 pounds. And then in my case, I went and got the insert to go with it, which is all wood. So my box... quite literally weighs like 27 pounds. And I'm like, this is never leaving my house. And it doesn't need to in this case, but it's just been sitting on the shelf because it's so darn heavy.
Absolutely. And again, this was a game that even when it went on sale and even was on auction, the reason why I never picked it up, because I have played it, I played a good chunk of the game, is just like I couldn't fit that anywhere. And again, it's another one of those games that's just so large that if you did bring it to game night, what were you playing? Like, I don't know, 1% of it at that night, you know, that you brought it out there. Like, come on, people. And obviously, he's come out with a smaller game version of this. You can actually get to the table. So draws a lion. You know, I think it finally shows that you can play this in a smaller version. Next, Anthony, is a game that I do think that you own, right? Mechs versus Minions. This was from Riot Games.
Yeah. When they announced this and it came out and that whole big buzz like 4 or 5 years ago, I went in on it because I'm weak and I will follow the masses to the cliff. And it wasn't crazy expensive. It was like $80. You got this massive box. It's huge. Like it's a legitimately very, it's like the length and width of a Gloomhaven box and not quite as tall, but very big. And everything in it is just like blinged out, right? Everything's painted. It's beautiful. Production is such top notch. And it's just this big awkward thing that what do I do with it? Right. It just ended up on the top of my shelf under a bunch of other stuff for a very long time. I think now it might even be in the closet. I don't see it on my shelf, but yeah, it's a tough one. It does benefit from the fact that obviously it's replayable because it's not a story, but it does have chapters that you go through. So you could theoretically, quote unquote, finish it and then put it away. But
yeah, this was a game from Riot Games. I used to love to play League of Legends back in the day. And I was really excited when this came out. And then I was really disappointed when the game came out and it wasn't League of Legends. It was a programming game. So I was like, Yeah, I can't. No, I can't. I can't bring this out to gamers, and gamers are not coming to my place. So, and again, it's been up for sale a couple of times and multiple reprints, and I'm just like, no. So, again, it's another game that would be great if you could get to the table, but there's so much to it that, again, you're only playing like maybe 10% at game night. Next is Scythe. Now, not just Scythe and not just its expansions, of course. but the legendary box. This was the super big box that was supposed to replace the already huge box of Scythe, and it was a $40 box. That's it. Just the box. Yep. And you were supposed to put Scythe in there after you spent all the money on the fancy Scythe box and then put it in this kind of okay gray cube. You're just like, wait a minute. I bought this on Kickstarter and now it's a giant cube and I can't carry anywhere. It's too cubish. It's just cubish. And it's just, why? Why would they do that to us?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, like this is, we're going to talk about a couple of these that I regret, but this is definitely one I regret buying.
Me too.
I have my Art Connoisseur edition, you know, numbered from the original Kickstarter, and it's, there aren't that many of them, and I have this empty box, and I'm not getting rid of that. And it just, it's somewhere in storage now. And then I have this massive brick of a thing that I can barely carry because it closes in the middle too. So you kind of have to strap it to make sure nothing comes loose.
Yeah.
And it didn't come with inserts or anything. It came with these little flimsy cardboard boxes to put stuff in.
Crazy.
Which I tossed because I'm like, I couldn't even get the stuff to fit in there properly. So I tossed them all out. And so it's just a bunch of baggies in there. And I'm like, I am not, on top of the $40 box, spending like $100 on a wood insert for this thing. And so now it's just a mess inside this giant box. And it doesn't work.
No, it doesn't. I still have mine and I still have it in shrink. I've been meaning to transfer the stuff in the box, but I just, every time I look at it, I'm just like, no, that was a $40 mistake. That was just a massive $40 mistake. So yeah, I think I was actually owed the insert too, and it never got to me. So yeah, I don't know. No, that's bad. And again, it's another thing where it's just, it's almost impossible to get to the game table because those components are high quality and therefore very heavy too. So yeah, I don't know how you fit this in a bag. I don't know how you transport this, but it's very big. Next is another game that just recently came out. This was a Kickstarter. This is Dice Throne Adventures. This is a brand new game that's out there that creates an opportunity for you to use your Dice Throne characters, season one or season two, in playing a game of Dice Throne Adventures, which kind of makes it a little like Gloomhaven in a way. But here's the thing. Dice Throne Adventures, if you haven't seen it, it's a ridiculously huge box. And the game components itself are not huge, but because the game is such high quality in its components, they make these giant, ridiculous inserts and plastic holders that make the box big. And you're going, well, at least everything's good. Cool. Here's the thing. Dice Throne Adventures, you can't play it alone. You have to play it with either season one or two, which means now you have to bring another massive box because Dice Throne Adventures doesn't come with characters you can play with. So it's like, can I stick them in the other box? No, you can't. So now you're carrying two giant boxes to play one game. Nope. Not even a little bit, my friends. Not even a little bit.
That's, yeah, I haven't even seen this one, but the way you described it, it's just like, it's ugh, giving me shudders.
Take a look at it. Take a look, because the new versions are very nice, but again, you're not playing everything. And again, it should have come with two characters to play with, two new characters, even two old characters that you could play with, or variants or something. Because the fact that you have one giant box and it doesn't have everything you need to play it is just ridiculous. Yeah. Next is, and surprisingly so, Anthony, a smaller version, but I'm just putting this really blankly here. Queen, as the publisher, Queen's, you know, and you know where this is going, the big box games, all of them.
Yeah.
And I mean all of them. You know who you are.
All of
you know what you did.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have three of these, I think. I have Shogun somewhere. I have the Merlin big box actually just came in with the Kickstarter. And there's like one other one that I picked up somewhere along the way.
You probably have Alhambra.
I have the mega box of Alhambra. It's even bigger. Because that one has the base game, 6 expansions, 24 additional modules, and then like it comes with towers for the tiles. The tiles are all actually bigger than the original version.
Oh, no.
It is very, very big. It's not quite as big as some of these other games we're talking about, but it is significantly bigger than a normal big box.
Yeah, I have a bunch of these as well. I have the Alhambra. I have Fresco. And I also have, I guess Amerigo fits in that. That's also Queen Games. I mean, it's more reasonable because you're just getting a game. It just happens to have big pieces and puzzle pieces there. But here's the big problem with these big box games. They often, if not always, come with an okay insert. But what they don't tell you about Queen's Games and their big boxes and their inserts is if you don't hold them horizontal at any point, everything in the box goes flying inside. And Queen Games is known for their tiny little Queenie expansions. And those are awesome because like each of them add like 10, 15 minutes to the game. But the boxes are big. They're almost like they're really weird, again, coffin boxes. Again, just it with the insert especially, it makes those boxes almost impossible to manage, even though they used to be like, it used to sound like a really smart idea. Get the big box version. You'll have all the expansions and all the Queenies in there. And you're just like, oh, cool. And like, I tipped it like, you know, 2 degrees and now everything went flying. I don't know where everything goes now. I don't want to play this anymore. So yeah, those are in my closet and I'm afraid to move them. I am literally afraid to move those.
I will say though, the Merlin big box, it has game trays with lids that snap shut.
There you go. So yeah,
they have at solved least the problem.
They have learned. They have learned so a bit. Next up is pretty much everything or anything from Mind Clash Games. Now, Mind Clash produces wondrous games, but let's be honest, they're gigantic. And in particular, the Anachrony Infinite Box. You know about an Infinite Box, Anthony, right? That center of gravity in your room.
Yeah, seriously. This is the biggest box I own. And I own a lot of the games on this list. This is the biggest by a fair margin. Like it sits on top of my Gloomhaven box. It hangs off the edge a little bit and it's like 3 inches taller than it. It is huge. And it doesn't need to be so big because you've got the base game and the expansion, the first expansion. They all fit in there, obviously. But they also all already fit in the old Anachrony box, which wasn't nearly this big. And then the new expansion, all the materials that come with that, it's not that much stuff. The reason it's such a huge box is that they did the game trays thing, but then they have all these separate little spaces for like 4 or 5 pieces. Certain things you don't have that many pieces of, but it has this big hole in the game tray. Like when you actually look at the way the space is used, it's not efficient at all. I don't know if they're going to add anything to it in the future, but this box, if I had known it was this big, I would not have backed it. I probably would have gotten the expansion and I would have figured out a way to jam it into the old box, but I would not have paid for this because there is no way I'm ever going to be able to take this out of the house. It's just never going to happen. And this is a game I like and I would bring out and play with people, but now it's not going to happen. So I've kept my original box and I will probably repack it at some point because I can't use this thing. I don't know what to do with it.
I'll tell you what to do with it. You go back into the past and you give yourself the game. This way you never need to buy it in the future. And it's a time paradox, but at least you're able to get rid of the game. That's all I'm saying, man. It's worth doing.
It's such a shame. It's like one of my favorite games. It's on my top 100. And then just this giant box that renders it almost unplayable. I know some people are like, I get it to the table. I put it in my car. It's fine. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I tend to walk to game night. Like,
what kind of car are they driving? An SUV? Come on, man.
I know. It's just not going to happen. And then you can only bring one game with you. You're like, all right, this is the game we're playing because it's the only thing I can carry.
Yeah. And the problem also is you're not playing with all of that. You can't play with all of that on a game night. So you're bringing more than you need. And then again, that's you don't want to have to like, and I have a friend who does this, like he repackages his stuff into like plastic containers and takes it with him, which again is smart in some cases, but it's also like if you're going to get a giant box that fits everything, the last thing you want to have to do is break that box down to bring it to game night. Like, oh, okay, I'll bring these pieces and these people like that. No, come on. No. I mean, I have Tricarion, the big box, which is not as big as the Infinite box, but it's still a very big cube that barely fits everything. And it's very heavy. And again, getting to game night is rough because it's a very delicate box too. All right, so let's talk about two boxes. I'm not mentioning the smaller version here, which is kind of insane for me to say, but Smash Up has a bigger, geekier box expansion. Now, they have a big, geeky box, which I've owned, and I like it quite a lot. It's actually a rectangle box with a really heavy cover, and even though I've collected most, if not all, of the expansions, the bigger, geekier box is a giant cube. And even with all of the expansions, I don't believe it fills up half of the cube. You know, it's just, it's, and again, it's a lot of just dead space, and it's a giant, giant, giant cube that takes up a whole space in my Kalex. And I'm just like, why didn't I just stick to the earlier box? The earlier box was fine. It held everything. I could have stopped. I could have had a normal life, but no. Now I have the giant cube. And again, I just feel like the giant cube didn't need to be released yet because the other box was doing a fine job and it wasn't filled up yet. So I have the giant cube and my life has never been the same since.
Yeah, this box is stupid big. I just pulled up a picture of it.
It's stupid big. Yeah.
I you know what I would love, though, is this kind of box for like Arkham Horror the card game, because the one thing that I would take a big box of, and I don't care how big it is something that's big enough to hold all of the LCG expansions for one of those LCGs, because you can't hold it in anything else they give you. And so you just have decks of cards all over the place. Yes. And I don't take that game out of the house. It's a solo game. I would take that. This for Smash Up, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that?
Yeah. And especially since Smash Up is literally just two small, tiny decks of cards that you put together and play. Like, it's, if you think about all of the games out there, this giant box versus what it actually takes to play a single game is the greatest disparity there is out there. Just like, giant box, tiny little game. You know, like, you could put that game in a deck box and just take it with you. And in the future, they might need to do that. Like, somehow make smaller boxes inside the box that you could pull out. All right, next up is something that we just want to touch upon because we would be here for several hours talking about this. And this is basically all of the Kickstarter miniature games. And I mean all of them. I mean, there's just all of them. Whether it's Tainted Grail or I don't know. I just don't even want to go down that list. They're just all of them. They're just all of them. You know all of them, right, Anthony? They're all of them.
Honestly, yeah. You look up Awakened Realms on Board Game Geek and anything they've made. There's the Batman Gotham City Chronicles. That game literally the... The base game of that is two separate boxes that are the size of like Twilight Imperium boxes. And so you stack them together and it gets pretty close to some of these other things. And I'm trying to think of something else, but that's the world that we're moving into here. And those games are obviously, they're prestige, they're very expensive. People pay a lot, they repack them, they build custom solutions, all that stuff. But if you're going to back a game like that, know that it will not be easy to carry around with you.
And again, it's another one of those games that you want to bring to game night because it deserves the attention, because it's just, the miniatures are gorgeous and they're huge, but you are never going to play with everything on a game night. It's just, it's way too much.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is, again, the granddaddy in some respects, the ultimate in some respects, and the super, 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 super expensive of all respects of miniature games, Kingdom Death Monster.
Yeah. And this is, we're just talking about the base version, the core set, because there's like 800 expansions too.
There is. Yeah, we don't want to go down that dark path, because if we start talking about that and just everything that comes along with that, there's no coming back. We know that. We all know that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
I have a copy of this that I picked up used, and it is, I don't know, it's not quite the full length of a 2x4 Kalax, but it's pretty close. It's not the highest game box I own, but it is certainly the longest, and it's very heavy and it's very full of stuff.
Yeah, and this is a game that I've looked at for quite some time, and I remember going to, this is really one of the convention visits. Like, if you ever go to a convention and it's just not your normal thing to do, I highly recommend going to the Kingdom Death Monster booth, because the booth itself is gorgeously designed. The creatures are like, they're just insane. They're just gorgeous and scary and horrifying, and they're huge and everything else. But again, this is another game that has a huge campaign to it, but it's almost impossible to get to the table, and it has a million little tiny components in it, cards and bits and pieces in it. If you've never played this, I guarantee you, you're just going to be blown away by everything that comes in the box, the weight of the box, and again, as Anthony mentioned, all of the boxes. So speaking about all the boxes here, Anthony, one of our favorite games of all time is Suburbia, the collector's edition. Well, at least the original edition, but they came out with a collector's edition and you bought it. So how's that going for you?
It's a big old brick on top of a shelf over here, and I have yet to play my copy because it's such a pain in the butt to get it out. I don't know. It's a similar problem to Anachrony, really, is what happened. It's like you put everything in that one box. You have this giant cube. It's not as big as the Infinity box, but it's about as unwieldy because it's, you know, I don't know, 2x2x2 or whatever it ends up being. And then even if you did take it out, like unpacking it and finding all the bits that you need to play the game, the way it's packed in there, that's a whole process unto itself. Sure. And I don't know. It's just a lot. And it's one of those things where I got it. And I'm like, I love it. It's beautiful. I'm happy to have it. It's not like a straight up regret like the Infinity box where I'm like, why did I do this? But it's also recognizing I'm like, I'm never going to bring this out. And if I want to play Suburbia, I need to bring it to game night because I'm usually the person who, you know, would bring this game out. So it is a challenge now for that reason.
And I think the most telling thing here is I didn't back this because I had everything for Suburbia, including the insert, and I honestly wanted to pull the trigger. And I regret not pulling the trigger, but then the weird thing was I was so amped to play this, and I knew that there was at least two or three guys in my group that have this game, and I was like pleading with them to bring it to game night. I was like, I'll teach you how to play this. And each and every one of them on different occasions said, I can't. It's just too big. I can't lug that thing across town or on a bus or in a car and just get it here. It's just too big. And I'm just like, well, if that doesn't say everything, I don't know what does. And again, it's a shame because this is not just something you just drop down at like a cafe or something like that. So yeah, that's a rough situation. Right. Now, the, I guess, sister to this would be probably the ultimate big box games. And we actually haven't even seen it yet. This was a recent Kickstarter. This was the Castles of Mad King Ludwig Collector's Edition, another game from Bezier Games. But what makes this the ultimate of ultimates is they decided to produce a colossal edition. So the rooms are like, each of them are like a size of your hand. And the moats are giant. Everything is giant. Like they made an additional, you know, backer level just to be able to get everything super, super huge. So I don't know what the final version will look like. I don't think they even had anything showing the, you know, what was going on here. But this is going to be massive. Again, if you've never played the game, it's all about creating a tableau of these different rooms and everything. I don't even know how you get this to the table. It's a good game, but a massive, huge box and a colossal addiction box is just unimaginable. And we haven't imagined it yet, but someone at Bezier Games has imagined it. So good luck trying to see this hit in game night.
No, it's not going to happen. Yeah, it's going to be bigger than the Suburbia box, and that's not happening. So it's definitely not going to happen. Ugh.
And that was another thing. Like, I was going to pull the trigger on that because I do like the game a lot. And the idea of getting this like super deluxe colossal edition to the table was like, oh. And then every time I watched their campaign, I was like, are they going to show a shot of like the game set up on a table so I can get a sense of like how big this thing is? And then like they never really did. And I was just like, I got to stop watching this campaign because nah, this is going to be bad. So, you know, there you go. Our largest and biggest games that are just way too big to play. Everything in one box. You carry it all, but you can't play it all. Just big problems. It's the Borg cube of the board game universes. Resistance is futile. You will pick them up. You will put them on a shelf. They will collect dust. You will just eventually break down in tears that you can't get these great games to the table each and every week. All right, Anthony. So that's everything for this week. Until next time, this is Chris.
And this is Anthony.
And we'll save you a seat at the table. Unfortunately, without one of these giant boxes.
Yes.
See ya!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.